What is up, you sexy bastards? It is your boy, Chocolate Chip Cookie, aka Rabbi Can't Lose, aka Noah Kagan. Today, I'm going all the way back to the future and hopping in my Miata-shaped time machine to give my younger self the Business Almanac Playbook, which has all of the advice I'll ever need to be successful today. This is for you too. In this episode, you're going to be hearing 21 pieces of brutally honest, invaluable career advice, from the importance of being okay with the uncertainty to the power of compounding to the magic of persistence. Everything I've learned about all my professional highs and lows to help you navigate your own business journey, whether you're just getting started or you're far along on that path. In this episode, you're going to enjoy three gigantic things. Number one, how do you build your network? This is something that has literally been an eight-figure thing for me. So how exactly did I do it? Number two, what's up with content creation? It is actually an opportunity magnet. So let me help break down how you guys can get more into that. Number three, how do you balance all this and your positive mindset all along the way? You're going to enjoy those three ear nuggets plus 18 more of them. If you enjoy this and you want to hear more advice for someone who's an up-and-coming startup, go back and listen to our episode with Leif Rasmussen, where he asks me questions about how to succeed as a young entrepreneur. That is episode 291 in this feed. You want to save money on software? Of course you do, friend. I hate when people do that friend thing. Find what you need on appsumo.com. Pay once, own it forever. The best software deals on the planet for solopreneurs. If you're a freelancer, if you're a startup, if you're an agency, if you're selling meditation books like my friend Julie, go to appsumo.com and join the newsletter. Next, grab a copy of my book. If you have not gotten Million Dollar Weekend to change your own life in the next 48 hours, I promise you, building a business is the best way for you to build your confidence. Go grab the book at milliondollarweekend.com. And if you're not on my newsletter, we have an exclusive email each and every week to help you on your own business journey. And I reply to most of the emails as much as I can. That's at noahkagan.com, N-O-A-H-K-A-G-A-N.com. Also, a special pre-show shout out to listener Gavin Simpson. Noah's podcast, excellent. Great marketing tips, excellent. Business advice, excellent. And love is enthusiasm, excellent. Gavin, dude, when are we going to come over and have a hot pot dinner? I love you, man. I love every other one of you gorgeous listeners. I hope you know that. Like, as I'm trying to massage your earlobes, brrr, I hope that was a little massage, brrr, I love you. And I want to shout you out and your business or your URLs, or just say thank you in a future episode. So if you're on your phone right now on iTunes, if you're on Spotify, or wherever you listen to the show, just leave a quick review. I check every single one of them. Brutally honest advice to my younger self. So let's take a step back. Where am I today? I'm 42 years old. I'm a dinosaur of the YouTube. I've been blogging 20 plus years. I actually was blogging before there was even WordPress. Do you guys even know what WordPress is? First 10 years of my career, rejected by Microsoft, rejected by Google twice. Pre-IPO, post-IPO, fired by Facebook after 9 months, fired by Mint.com after 10 months, and then I've built around 20 different startups that never made it and you've never heard about. I've made a lot of mistakes and I've learned a lot of things along these 20 plus years of entrepreneurship and living in my adult years. And today I want to share with you some brutally honest advice I give to my younger self so that you can shortcut a lot of this and avoid a lot of my mistakes. So at 18, I was at UC Berkeley. I was living in the extension dorms called Tau House up on Channing, I think it was around Channing Avenue in Berkeley. I was just excited to be in college. I was uncertain of how I'd get rich, but I thought I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I don't really know how anyone does it. I've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was like, well, I want the rich dad. And how do I find one of those? But it wasn't really ever clear what that path looked like. I was, you know, reading as many books as I could. And in college in these years, I just started trying things. It wasn't really necessarily any playbook or thing to follow. I was confused and jealous how people figured out their lives at that point. I was confused how people knew where to go. And what I realize now 20 years later in that, they didn't know where they wanted to go. They were just following other people. And I don't think they were really thinking deeply about how they actually wanted to live their life. They were choosing the safe path, which doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but I don't think they were being intentional about how they wanted to live. And that took me maybe a decade to really figure out. And so in college, you know, it's funny, even to this day, I don't really have any friends from college. I don't think I was a loner and I knew everyone in college, but I didn't really connect with anyone super deep that I really benefited from. I think people say that in college, like, oh, you make a great network. I did not. I still just, it's me and Marty. Shout out to my boy, Marty Moriyama. But for me, it was a great opportunity to kind of really explore a lot of different things and really the buffet of life. I ran for student government. I got to meet Max Levchin and disappoint him. I told him I would follow up with him after he spoke at Berkeley, and I never followed up. And I tried to talk to him later, and he never forgot that I didn't follow up. And I still remember how important following up is from that lesson. I learned a lot of lessons there. I started different businesses. One of the first businesses I don't think I've talked about was I started flipping laptops. This is early days of Craigslist and eBay, 2003. I mean, super old school stuff. I would buy laptops on Craigslist, fix them up, sell them on eBay and vice versa. And I was making good money at that. I even remember I got one of the first flip phones that had a camera, and people couldn't lost their shit. They're like, dude, you have a camera on your phone? We can't, dude, you're so weird. And I remember when the Treo came out, one of the Palm, I think 640s, something like that. And I was able to respond to emails on my phone. No one else was doing that. People were like, dude, how are you responding to these things? And then I ultimately got scammed. I sent a laptop to the Philippines via and PayPal, said that was a scam. And I was like, are you sure? And they're like, yes. So I lost the money in the laptop, and I ended up actually giving up that business. But another, you know, a lot of really great lessons that I was able to learn along the way around this age at 18. Also about partnerships, also about starting things. I started a book exchange called Come Get Used that we actually merged with another guy, and we ended up not getting along. And this is something I've really noticed with Million Dollar Weekend. All these random things, as long as you're trying and you're trying to learn from each of them, they ultimately will add up. And each of these experiences really keeps getting you to the place that you really want to go. And it's very hard to get there sitting on the sideline. So that's where, you know, I was around the age of 18, kind of, I would say lost, but more just curious and not really clear on how all these things worked out. And I wouldn't say I was as optimistic as I really would have liked to be. And this is what I'm seeing a lot now. Things have just always worked out for everyone. They really, really, really do. And maybe let's not be so frustrated ourselves along the way. So I'm going to break down the brutally honest things to myself in 8 categories: career, business, relationships, health and fitness, productivity, mindset, happiness, content, miscellaneous, spicy. So here's some brutally honest things that, you know, if you're 20, you can listen to this advice. And if you're 40 and above, you can listen to advice. And that's one of the things that I've recognized. I was at my kitchen table last week and I thought, man, I've started more businesses and I'm running a $100 million a year business. And I've worked for some of the smartest and interviewed literally the billionaires on the planet. I've interviewed 1% of them. I still don't know a lot of things and I'm still making a lot of mistakes. I thought, how cool is that, right? That I'm still willing to and I'm still open-minded enough. So whether you're 700, whether you're 70, whether you're 17, there's still things that we can be learning and improving. And I see that from a lot of the people I admire that are more, not even more, but just successful in their own ways. So let me break down a few things around my career. Number one is career. So be okay not knowing what you want to do with your career. Would probably be one of the key things I would be thinking about. I had no clue. And all the people around me at Cal went to be accountants, auditors, consultants, bankers. And I was like, all those sound like horrible lives. And so be okay being lost. In your career, I would say, especially early on, it's very great to take high risk things because you have low risk. I'm gonna say that one more time. Especially early in your career, you don't have much to risk. There's not like you don't have a lot of money to risk. You have a shit ton of time. Be as crazy risky as possible. Go abroad if you have that chance. Take some free work if you have that chance. If you have to fly to get a meeting with someone, do it. If you can reach out to the person you didn't think would reply, or you show up at a conference just to think they'll talk to you, do it. Take as much high risk activities because the rewards are disproportionate specifically with that. A few other key things about career is be a hub, especially early on. It's still paying 8-figure dividends to me. I don't know how much I'm worth, who cares? But a lot of that is because I was very early in my career a hub. You know, I had Entrepreneur 27, which was, I created a networking group where you could meet other entrepreneurs under 27. I asked people I knew, Clara Shi, who's now, I think, a CEO at Salesforce. I met her at my internship and she was insanely smart, way smarter than me. I messaged her and I said, Clara, this is via email. I said, hey, who's one smart person in the Bay Area that you know from college? And she's like, oh, you got to meet this guy, Ramit Sethi. So I met Ramit and he was nuts then. He's still nuts now and I loved it. And that was literally 2003. So 21 years ago. And then I started creating conferences. I never created conferences. I never even been to a conference. But it's being a hub. And if, whether you're an introvert or extrovert, just being an intentional hub on an ongoing basis. You can check out Nick Gray's book, The 2-Hour Cocktail Party. It's a good one to do it. You can read the book as well. I have it in the background here in the video, Never Eat Alone. That's another fire book. Shout out to my boy, Tal Roz. So be the hub. Number two, document your learning online. So go put yourself out there. And you don't have to put your face out there. But what people miss about document your learning online is you can, one, learn how to write. That's a really underrated skill. You learn how to write, you learn how to communicate. And all of life, as I talk about in Million Dollar Weekend Chapter 2, is asking. And what is an ask? It's communication. So the more that you document yourself and the more you put it out there, you learn about how to document. You also get to look back on yourself and be appreciative of how far you've come. And I've noticed that documenting myself, it helps me became a magnet in my hub. So as I was putting out articles and things, and not all of them got there, but it was people were reaching out to me and I was like, oh, this is cool. By me putting out other people that speak my love language and connect with the way I'm presenting myself and live my life are connecting with me. And lastly, I got to learn a lot about marketing. So I was blogging on my site. It was called OK Dork. Now it's called noahkagan.com. And I learned, how do I get this article read? Okay, that's a fun thing to practice. I never went to marketing classes at Berkeley sucked. There wasn't anything I actually learned from that. But by blogging on my site and documenting my learning, it helped me learn how to do marketing, which now I'm, using Mandela Weekend. I'm using it at tidycal.com. I'm using it with AppSumo.com. I used it at Mint. And the next, I want to go a little deeper on learning how to write. I've done, thousands of blog posts in these 20 plus years, and only four have gone viral. Tony Robbins, Million Dollar Weekend, Ayahuasca, Fired by Facebook. I'm talking super viral. And that's in 20 years of 1,000 article plus writing. Writing is a skill that you can get better and better at. And you will only get better if you practice. So the Gary Halbert letters are a classic. Shout out to my boy Neville from Copywriting Course. You will never be disappointed improving your communication skills. So if you've gotten emails from me, if you've talked with me, you probably will see that I'm very short, probably sometimes too short. That's not a joke, like the rapper. I'm just very direct in my communication. The two easiest ways you can improve your writing is read out the things you're writing after you write them and see how it sounds out loud, because that's how you talk. And then secondly, get edited, not only by yourself, but one person that you appreciate their writing approach or you respect them as a person. Send them your writing and say, hey, I'd love for you to edit this. I was talking with someone recently and I said, hey, do you listen to your own podcast? He's like, never. I listen to almost all of my podcasts, and especially early on. I even hired an NPR editor to edit my podcast so I could see how they edit. And it's the same thing goes with your writing. If you look in the mirror is how you're going to actually see ways to improve. Ooh, this is a spicy one. Learn how to cold email. Yeah, so if you're writing, how do you actually get people to respond to you? I literally had these guys from Scale Up, some YouTube podcast, come over to my house yesterday, which I'm very sensitive about my privacy, and we did a 45-minute show on their podcast. Now, the question is, how did they cold email me? They don't know me. They're from Serbia and Croatia. Shout out to my Eastern European bros and girls. How the hell did they get a hold of me? I reward persistence because I want to reward the behaviors that I admire, the behavior that I like in myself. So they sent me an email and saying, hey, I think we've got Jason Cohen and this other person. We'd love to feature you. We're going to come out. We're only going to be here for a few days. You're one of the dream people we have. We like your stuff. So I ignored their communication, rightfully so. I know that's not what you're expecting me to say, but I ignored it. I'm getting so many messages these days, and my priority is my family, then it's AppSumo, and then it's my content stuff. I want to respond to everybody. I really do. It's just I only have so much life to live. And same as you. And so I ignored it. Then they came to my speech and they bought a book. So now they're showing me they're willing to do a little bit extra work more than most people, which most people send one email and stop. So then they show up at the thing. I'm like, okay, that's good. Then they wait in line 30 minutes to get it signed. It's like, hey man, really love it. If we could do it, I know you're busy. We're leaving tomorrow night. If you have any time, they weren't annoying about it. They were just persistent. And there is a difference between the two. And then they followed up. Most people never do. The next morning and said, hey, whenever you have time today, we'll work around your schedule. I was like, all right, I have from 4 to 4:45. Here's my address. They came, they recorded, and made an episode. Now, the coolest thing about that is that that was all cold. And I think in the way I teach a Million Dollar Weekend is do things warm. You don't have to do it like that. But if you shoot 100 shots, you will get one hit. I promise you. It's the same thing of how I've done my YouTube content. Where you see me do these billionaire videos, literally this morning, I'm getting rejected. Rejected, rejected, rejected. Oh, wow, that person said yes. Rejected, 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 rejected. And all those people, it's just not yets to me. They're all not yets. But you have to get going. You have to keep trying. You have to be persistent in following up. In terms of learning to cold email, the easiest two things I would approach it as is what's in it for them. So do they have a charity? Do they have a book? Do they have a product? Do they have a course? Do they have something they're selling? Do they have something that care about? And the second thing is following up with them in a timely and respectful manner forever until you're able to actually accomplish it or until they tell you, please stop. I never found early on in life this mentorship thing. I found it overrated because no one ever really cared. And I tried askily to get people to be my mentors, like, please be my mentor. And I think it's one of these things we use as excuses to avoid doing some of the work ourselves. And we think people like Noah or someone who could be a mentor will give them the secrets. And it's not secrets, but they give you experience. Making that your excuse from not doing things is what people need to be avoiding. And so what I would be curious about and brutally honest advice is just go try to talk to a lot of fucking people that look rich or doing rich shit and just ask them how they got there. I have people come over to my house for different things, whether it's cleaning, whether it's boxing coach, whether it's the pool cleaner. No one asks me what the fuck I do. And when I was younger, and I'm still doing this day, and I do it on my content, like, hey, what'd you do to get rich? Tell me about that. So ask the people around you. And what you're looking for in that is someone who shares a version of it that you actually care about. And maybe they'll take an interest in you by you helping them. So for instance, today, I have a guy, Moody Glasgow, who I pay. He's the former CMO of Zapier, former CMO of Glassdoor. He was a VP at Electronic Arts. And we connected with him to help with our marketing. And he was really critical. He was really, really, really critical. So critical about all that stuff. I was like, damn, Moody, you're kind of mean to us. And I was like, I fucking love it. That's what I was thinking inside. I was like, I love that he's actually willing to say the real shit and challenge me. And so I appreciated that about him. And that's where I would say Moody is finding a mentor. And so the thing that people can adjust in their mentorship approach, one, ask a lot more people, but potentially find mentors in specific categories is what I've actually found to be more effective. So find an email marketing mentor, find a business operation mentor, find a marketing mentor, find someone who's a good husband mentor. I think a lot of times, especially as I'm becoming a father, I really look at like who says they want to be a good father and who is actually being a good father, and then go spend more time with that kind of person. And so look for the specific categories versus one person to be all of it. A few other things is asking, especially early on, like you have people are much more generous to your age. But even as you're older, like I have people now that are like, I'm 65, I'd love some help. I'm like, damn, I want to help this person too. So just ask and 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 ask. Keep asking, just ask. This business deal I did is because I was renting a parking spot from a guy and I said, how'd you afford a parking spot? Like, oh, I sold a software company. Really? Can I treat you to lunch wherever you want to go and we'll talk about it? That was pretty cool. Or right now, even as an ask, trying to find a doula, which is baby stuff. I'm asking people, hey, do you like your doula? What'd you like about him? What'd you not like him? Can you introduce me? Or even in marketing hiring, I'm still asking, oh, you're not interested in working for us? Who's the one person that you think we should hire that I can talk to? It's an ask. And the last thing, this is not advice you're ever going to hear anywhere else, is like, go get fired. It's not bad to be an employee. And I've always said this, there's four things about being an employee or an entrepreneur. They both start with E, but there's four things that everyone cares about regardless of it. It's how much you get paid. It's what you work on. Like, does that give you meaning? It's who you work on. And it's the conditions you're working in. Like, if you can get paid stupid fat, right? Like, let's just say 10 mil. If you can work on something you find really meaningful, if you can work with hella cool smart people, and if you can work remote, do you care if you're an entrepreneur or an employee? No, I promise you don't. And most people actually can like their jobs. They don't necessarily need to quit them. Or they can have a job and a side hustle. I think entrepreneurship is the best way to learn about yourself. And for me getting fired, though, I will say it was a very good lesson of that one person can control my livelihood and the reality that maybe I'm not meant to have a job. And as well, I would say that I learned that everyone is replaceable. That was a tough one to really fucking take. That I thought I was so fucking special. I thought, hey, I've like made all these businesses in college and they've done kind of well and I have a blog and now I'm working at Facebook. I'm the coolest fucking kid. And then it was like, literally like that in an instant was taken. You could also, I'm sure some optimistic, annoying person would be like, they gave you the future. No, they took my identity and they took my self-worth, which I would say took a long time. Even this day still I struggle with. You know, I think a lot of people, oh man, I'd love to copy his life. And there's, you know, definitely challenges along that path. And I'm here to share those with you so that you could skip around them. But also maybe some of these problems and hard things you're facing are not necessarily always just a bad thing. Maybe it's there to teach you something. I'm just going to jump in the next one. And then if you guys like this type of content and you want me to do more brutally honest advice to my younger self, let me know and we'll explore more of it. But the number one regret I have in my 20s, the number one regret, is not being intentional about my dating. Number one regret, because life is all about opportunity cost. And if you're dating someone, it means you're not dating someone else. And then when you actually find someone that you really enjoy dating and it's great, I didn't realize how much of a game changer it is. I just had no fucking clue. And finding someone like my wife now, who just got married, it's just so obvious. Like this is the number one life decision you have to make. And so the question then becomes, how can you approach it more effectively if you're a younger person? Because you don't want to get married and then be like, fuck, this sucks. Or fuck, I have like 40 more years of this. Because I've definitely felt that. And I would say a lot of my dating in my 20s was more, and this is literally what I teach in Million Dollar Weekend. I was getting what I was getting. I was not getting what I wanted. And so how can you approach it better? Great question. Number one, you have to work on yourself. Oh, fuck, no, give me a secret, dude. That's your secret. There's a book, Mark Manson's book called Models. Not the book you think of, Models. It's the first book. And I think it's actually one of the best dating books I've ever read. And it's all about how do you just become a person that you like so that you can also attract a person that likes you. Because it's hard to have someone else like you if you don't like yourself. And that's how I felt for a lot of the time. And it's not that I didn't have a good life. Like, you know, I was out and I was partying and I'm dating and I'm hooking up and all that stuff, but I wasn't doing it intentionally. I wasn't trying to commit. And I didn't realize, and again, if I was listening to this, I'd be like, I don't know, I'm gonna go hook up with other people. I don't give a shit, dude. Cool, you're married with a kid. It sounds boring. Like going to 6th Street in Austin, Texas, which is our party street, and going to a bar and getting drunk in some bar and then having to try to get home and then maybe talking to someone is like the most empty thing I could ever imagine right now. Like that would be like the last thing I'd ever want to do. You'd have to pay me $1 million. Okay, I would do it then. No, that just sucks. It just feels empty. It feels shallow now where going out and we're getting an Oreo milkshake tonight and then we're going to talk about different marriage things is just like super cool to me. Or like, hey, we're talking about our honeymoon. We're doing an RV trip. I'm like, damn, that sounds fun with my wife. I even look, I'm like, you're my wife. I can't believe it. And so a few things around dating better in your 20s. One, just keep working on yourself. So what does working on yourself mean? Just like yourself. So the simplest question that can really encompass all of yourself is, are you doing things you're proud of? That's it. Just be the person that you are proud of. Are you proud of how your health is? Are you proud of your behavior? Are you proud of how you're showing up at work? Are you proud of how you're showing up to your parents? A lot of times in my dating now, I was just like asking women, I was like, tell me about how your relationship is with your parents. And that was almost like the number one thing that would clarify who they are themselves. And that would show how their pride is. So for yourself, are you proud? It's just like business. Like when you hire someone, it's almost never the first person you hire that ends up working out. You know, one thing surprisingly about the career is give way less fucks about all these other people. And I'm still giving fucks about other people. I'm not going to try to front like I don't care. I don't like the subs or whatever they're called and all these different things. But how can you just keep doing more things, especially earlier in your career, that you can just be proud of yourself? Oh, cue the montage music. But no, for reals, it's how do I just do these things? Yes, maybe it's okay to get some external recognition, external validation. But think about the things that you are within your control that'll make you feel proud of yourself, Noah, and all these other people, wherever you are in your life. And the more that you can do that, the more you're going to feel proud of your accomplishments for yourself. And you're probably going to start accomplishing cool shit. Because when you say, hey, I want to do something I'm proud of, it's going to be great. And it's been funny in these past 20 years of entrepreneurship and failure and success is wanting fame. I even looked at my old site. If you go to thearchive.org, it's like, I want to be famous and I want to be rich. And now that I'm low famous and mid-level rich, some of these things that I thought I needed to feel good about myself is just never satisfying. And there's no amount of money, there's no amount of followers, there's no amount of acknowledgement that makes you feel good except about who you are and how you can feel good for yourself with those things. And so spend more time really thinking about what's the things that I'm proud of and get feedback. That's definitely one of them I'll talk in a second, but thinking about really for yourself, you know, I've been doing, you know, blogging and I did conferences and I did all these things to prove others wrong. And as I've gotten older, it's just more about proving myself right. Other things in the career that are really important would be have a lot more patience that it's going to work out. And that's a huge thing in my 20s where I was very impatient for rich and I was impatient for fame and I was impatient for recognition and I was impatient. If you're doing the reps and you're trying to get better over time, the results will pay off. If you're following Million Dollar Weekend or if you're following any process in your career, you're at least working on these things, it will work out. And I remember I was staying at my friend Shivani's couch. This is the year I lived on floors and couches. I drank a bottle of $2 Chuck from Charles Shaw. It's a $2 bottle of wine from Trader Joe's. And I was just so fucking sad about all these things. And I look back and very sadly on my 20s and the frustrations and the challenges that I experienced. And that's my story I'm telling. I really could have just had a better story I could have experienced. I didn't have to make it so hard on myself. And that's just being a little bit more patient that when you do something the first time and you're not a millionaire, you do a YouTube video the first time and you don't have 1 million subs, or you do anything the first time and you're not a perfectionist, realize that the second time is where you get better and then the third time. And that same thing goes for business. It's a skill that you develop and get better at and wealth and understanding yourself. And so in being patient with myself is just not talked about, right? Like wealth comes from compounded time. Wealth comes from compounded time. And what that exactly means is you find something. Maybe it's writing, maybe it's speaking, maybe it's software, maybe it's selling, maybe it's greeting cards, maybe it's a service. And then you just kind of keep doing it and keep better over and over in time. And if you can embrace patience and impatience, literally I have a book that's about how to get rich in a weekend, but it's about to launch something in a weekend. And with patience is how you really get to enjoy the fruits of your harvest. Damn, that's some analogy shit right there. The other part that really pairs nicely with these grapes is just positive self-talk. And the whole thing with the positive self-talk within the career was just not really accepting myself and accepting who I am. So each of us could be introvert, could be a writer, you could be a musician, you could be someone like me who's a starter. Like I'm I would say world-class at starting. In the past 3 years, I've really developed how to be more consistent and how to lead. So instead of just 0 to 1, I'm trying to go from, you know, 1 to 10. And that's something I've really worked on and focused on. And it's a struggle, but I've, you know, and there's a lot of things that maybe in a future piece of content, we'll talk about that. But just having a lot more positive self-talk about like, hey man, like you got fired. Great. Start again. Hey, you got fired. Great. Something wasn't great about that. And how along this way, of course, being patient with somewhat of a journey, but being nicer to myself along with it. Like think about yourself today, you know, start in the morning and to start to where you've consumed this content or gotten here in this episode. What have you talked to yourself about? You literally spend the most time with yourself. And so if you're your own best friend, how are you actually talking to yourself during this experience? And the more that you start thinking of that in a really like, this is my best friend on the planet. And how cool it'd be if your best friend's always cheering you on, always thinking you're the best, always thinking you can improve, always recognizing who you are. That's just powerful. That is really, really powerful. And something that if you just kind of start practicing it, it's literally a practice right now. Say something nice about yourself. For me, I went biking and I felt strong and I'm glad I still showed up to finish this episode. Even though you don't want to watch a movie, I don't want to shower. Actually, I hate showers. But you know, I had things I want to do, but I was like, no, let's finish this. And I'm proud of myself for showing up and doing this. And I'm proud of myself for saying, hey, maybe let's not do a show about everything, brutal, honest advice to my whole 20-year self, but like just career. And that's okay. Let's just do that. What's your positive self-talk? We talked about asking and we talked about being lost. I think there's something there about really trying all of it. And I know I talked about taking asymmetric risks. I just want to share some stories that I think things are brutally honest advice of things I made good decisions on. I made a lot of good decisions to try a lot of businesses when I didn't have money. I had a lot of time and it didn't really matter if they failed or not. I was lucky that I just was taking a lot of swings, building a book exchange, building a consulting company, building ninjacard.com, selling discount cards and having a discount card website. 20 years later, I'm still doing discounts and deals. And so I was swinging a lot. Maybe that's this one is just take a lot of freaking swings. I showed up at a Microsoft speech for engineers and I harassed the recruiter on campus and I said, hey, I'd love to get an internship. She's like, no. And I was like, what about an internship? No. And I stayed in touch with her until eventually somehow an internship got created. And the same thing goes with, you know, running for student government. I was just, all right, I'll try being a student government person. That sucked. Never doing government again. And then I said, all right, let me try to do this RA thing, means resident assistant, where I was helping supervise the dorms. Tried that. Loved it. First year, it sucked. I was in an all guys dorm. They hated me. The second year, I was in co-ed and they loved me. And I was just really willing to take swings. And all these swings added different skills and understandings and learnings about myself. I kept stacking, right? We're gonna talk about stack the deck in your favor in a second, but really it's about these swings or these sparks or these things that each time really, really added up for me. That was a great thing that happened in my 20s, career-wise. Even how I got the job at Intel. So, you know, I didn't get the job at Google, which I was really sad about because I knew I was gonna get rich. But the only reason I got this job at Intel, and I knew I wanted to be in tech. I didn't know how it was going to all work out. I kind of think there's something there about just like be in the stadium, be in the arena. And as long as you're there, something's going to happen. I was just went biking and I was thinking just because I was biking and I knew I wanted to meet Jean-Paul DeJoy and I saw him, I was like, holy shit, that was Jean-Paul DeJoy. Let me go see if I can talk to him. And that alone created, you know, a million view plus video, which I think has impacted a lot of people. And it really was special for me to meet him as a person in my lifetime. But that's because I'm swinging. And that is I'm swinging and swinging. And same thing with Intel. I knew I wanted to have this kind of job. And so when I was in the government, I helped, it's called SWE, Society of Women Engineers. And I just helped them get some funding for one of their projects. And because of that, they put me on an email list. And because of that, there was an email that came out that said, hey, Intel's hiring operational analysts. And it was for females, right? It was directed to a female engineering group. I still applied. And that's how I got the job at Intel. They're like, you're not female. I was like, no, it could be a female. Hey, this is 2004. And that led me to be at Intel, which then kind of kept me in the Bay, which is great and what I wanted to do. And that led me on all these different things because I was at Intel and I didn't have to work at all. I had a lot of time to meet other people, to create more side hustles, to put on conferences, which eventually led me then to Facebook. And so that all happened because I was swinging. I'm like, all right, let me just try this out. I started a club at Berkeley. I started a magazine. I was just swinging a lot. And then what I would encourage myself is, when you find the swing that works, stick with it. I definitely in my 20s was not accepting, as we talked about earlier, with patience, accepting maybe if I found something that works, like find a system or a person or a way to make that keep going. Like I had this conference business called communitynext.com. I just wanted it. That was it. You know, I think in terms of career, you know, the best job you can get is the one that is something you're excited to spend every single day on, right? So look at what you're spending your time on or look at what things you'd be excited to spend every day on as a career. For me, it was like, oh, I'd love to do this Facebook thing. And so I built this conference Because I was, after I got fired, I was like, oh, I got nothing to do. You know, I'm living at home. I was living at Johnny's couch and ended up going back and moving home to my mom's house. And I was like, oh, there's no conferences. It'd be kind of cool to meet my idols and see if I could have a conference. So I cold emailed my idols. I knew some kids at Stanford, even though I didn't go there. And I said, hey, can you give me a free room? So I had a room, cold emailed all these idols, asked them for referrals to their friends, and ended up hosting Community Next, which I met like literally the creme de la creme of all of Silicon Valley. And I made $50,000 with that one event, even though that wasn't my intent. I just wanted to do something that I liked and I wanted. And I can't tell you how many businesses. Like I just met Chris Hutchins from All the Hacks, and he literally was saying, hey, yeah, I had a day job, it was good, but I just wanted to put a podcast about all these hacks I'm learning. And that's led him to make a, you know, almost seven-figure business with that show, and he left his job. Same thing with this conferences. But the caveat with the conferences, and this is a really common thing for a lot of people out there, is once I found something working, it gets boring. Or once you find something working, you're like, well, I don't want to be this person. What I would have done differently career-wise is like, hey, this is working. Find someone to just keep running it if you don't want to be that person. Because I didn't want to be a networker. Someone's like, oh, you're like a networker person, right? And I was like, no, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a creator, even though it's debatable. You know, you could be an entrepreneur within networking. Point being, though, is that I regret not finding someone to actually just keep that going. So that was a great thing. Just really, you know, accepting who you are if you're a starter and finding that out. But also, if you find something that's finally working, system, person, software, to kind of keep running that business. Charles Hudson, shout out to this guy. He copied my exact formula for doing these conferences, did them for the next 2 to 3 years, and then ended up selling that business for multi-million dollars. So that was, one of those stories where I could have seen the other life I could have lived. Brutally other honest advice for my career. I'm thinking about this guy, Jay Yang, who's helping us with this content. He's even going to listen to this. Jay Yang is approaching the career the way I would have liked, where he was doing a lot of social media. He reached out with a pitch deck to me about potentially working together. He's interning at cool companies. He's putting himself out there. He's getting paid fat. Like, this guy's getting paid literally more than his teachers by working with me. And he's still considering going to college. And I think that's just a really cool thing for him to be so immersed and experienced. I think the only thing career-wise I would really encourage Jay to think about, you know, it's fun to do all the work stuff, but also have fun. I know that's not the advice. Like, yeah, I know it's like, yes, sacrifice, suffer, work your ass off, make a lot of money. And he's doing all these things. And I think he really enjoys it. It's obvious with the results. Go work in Japan and go get some brand new experiences. I think part of especially youth is just about diversity of experiences and, you know, making sure you're enjoying things outside of just the work, right? Like go play basketball, go get seats at a basketball game, go interview a GM of a basketball team and then start a podcast and then sell ads and make money. No, I'm just kidding, Jay. Don't do that. But go make sure you're having fun in this whole life experience. It's not only about the work, but I believe you can find out who you can really become through entrepreneurship. And it's just such a cool thing where I can't imagine a career of having a day job. I just can't. I don't think I could ever do it, especially not at this point. But it is a balance of like, yeah, let's go work our asses off and let's try to find some balance of working our ass off and, you know, going and enjoying this life. Other things in career, you can get rich with a day job. No one really recognizes that. I became a millionaire at 30, mostly from my day job. So I got about $500,000 from two companies, which was Gambit, the payments company, and these conferences. And the other $500,000 was because literally I just saved everything. I put about half in cash and half in just the stock market in Vanguard, and I just didn't spend anything. And so you can get rich with these day jobs. And by having this capital, it gives you the power to choose how you want to spend your time, which that is really what we're all aiming for, which is it's not bad having a job. It's bad being in a lot of meetings or being with a shitty boss or being in a company you don't like and not wanting to actually do that. So within a 10-year span, you can easily, I would say, you know, you try a few businesses out, you get that and you keep your job and you save like 30, you're living a very optionality-based life. So that's something that in your career, just to be mindful of. I wish I would have job shadowed more in college. Just like, hey, go, can I just like see what you do for a day or interview more people on podcasts? Like I had no fucking clue. I wish there was $1 million weekend and I really wish I would have just been like, all right, here's 10 different careers. I'm going to go spend 2 hours talking to these different people and really learn what the fuck they do all day. Like, what does a lawyer do? Dude, even to this day, iBanker, what do you do? What's the I? Investment bank? What are they investing banking in? And I think that would have been a really cool concept where a lot of people, I think, go and become doctors and regret it when they're actually a doctor. I know people that have done that. And I just wish I would have had more of a spectrum of tasting different careers out. There's a Poe Bronson book that I thought was really good about this, which is like, what should I do with my life? Yeah, what should I do with my life? Literally, I thought that was that's an older book I've read, but it's still a good one. So I would have done that. Some of this stuff is just obvious. Like, I think being in the Bay was just such an advantage for me. Like, it was just such a cheat, you know, literally having a density of just amazing people. And so online or offline, there is a cheat about density, like who's in your WhatsApp group, who's in the Slack group, who's in your text group, who's in your like Twitter DMs, and geographically or virtually, like how are you really surrounding yourself with that? And what I would say that I did well in my career is I was surrounding myself with exceptional people before, I guess they were famous or super rich, right? So like working for Zuckerberg, connecting with Tim Ferriss, connecting with Andrew Chen, connecting with Max Levchin, connecting with James Hong, connecting with Keith Raboy, connecting with Mark Pincus. Those are all people I met in my 20s. And so how do you be either in the geographical or in the industry? I think that's another thing that people don't think about, which is how are you choosing an industry where you're going to be surrounded with other interesting people? Like even with Bitcoin, I would say there's Anthony Pompliano or Joe Kelly from Unchained.com. And that's just because if you're around that space, you're bound to meet these people. And I think you can either be creating the business or be documenting the industry. That's kind of the two approaches I've seen have success in just being immersed in these different areas. So I would definitely think about how do you immerse yourself either geographically or industry-wise within your career. Other thing in career is have a stable house. That was something where, you know, living at my mom's, living at my aunt's, living in basement, living so cheap. I think I wish I would have just had a more stable foundation of a home, of a nest, just like a bird. I went to a therapist and she's like, you're living on couches and you're moving every month and it's hard to build with a rocky foundation. And so the next year, actually for 2 more years, I really didn't get a house. Only when I was about 30, I rented my first apartment really in Austin. Subsequently, then things got a lot more stable relatively. So if you don't have a stable home, how do you create a stable environment? I'm not even talking about living rich. I'm just saying stability, where you have a place that you know you can show up on the regular. Read a shit ton of bio books. I think those are always cheat codes. You can really get inspired about how people are living. You know, I read so many, like let's read the Dalai Lamas and Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs, you know, a lot of the icons and just like such a plethora. And honestly, you do it for free at the library. I know I'm an author. I'm supposed to tell you to go buy the books in the stores, but you can get them for free at the online. But yeah, go read a lot of biographies. That's just such a way to see how successful people in different areas have approached their life. By the way, keep a journal of all this stuff. You know, when I got fired by Facebook and I've looked back, I have a blog, a private one. Keep a diary. Don't even share it online, but just something that's kind of documenting how you're thinking about your life. That's just a really cool thing that you'll wish you had more of. Like now we have so many photos. So that's super cool. We didn't have that in 2004. Sounds kind of old school. But having a diary kind of helps you understand how you're thinking at different times. Maybe you'll be more proud of it, or maybe you'll be like, oh, you know, you're telling a story now, but if you actually get a journal, I looked at my journal and let me even pull it up here. In my journal, I still have it, which is crazy. Looking back at some of the older days of being at Facebook, it was just like, whoa. I think what was interesting with some of my older notes from Facebook and writing about this stuff was it wasn't all like roses, and it's nice to be able to look back on that. Other brutally honest advice. It's going to be fucking okay, man. Enjoy this goddamn party. We're on a planet. This is a career advice. Find fucking optimistic people to be around. I just think in my career, I just did a good job over time, just really honing in, like finding people pre-influencers, which I've talked about in the weekend, and just like, who are optimistic people in your life? I think a lot of us have, and this I've read, I don't remember which book, but like we keep on a lot of older people just because we've kept them on. But who are the people that are really just like, oh, these are doing cool stuff and they're positive and they're out there? Because that's going to inspire you. You're the inspiration of the people that surround you. And so go do inspiring things that you're proud of and then find other people around you. And I would say with my brutally honest career advice that it's all going to work out. You might be fucking angry. You might feel sad. You might feel like you don't know what to do. But what if where you're at is actually the right place? And maybe just smile at that. Pew, pew. That is a wrap. I hope you love the episode as much as we did making it for you. Go check out tidycal.com. It is a Calendly alternative. People are making 6 figures a year using it to get paid schedule meetings. So if you're a consultant, if you're a freelancer, if you want to start your business and you've read Million Dollar Weekend, go grab tidycal.com for free for your calendar scheduling. Next, text a friend you love them. Yo, dog, let's go see a movie together. Watch Simone. It's about Venezuela. Really good. And before you go, slide in my DMs at Noah Kagan and let me know what you thought of this episode. Finally, a couple shout outs to the amazing team who make all this happen. Thank you to Jason at podcasttech.com because the guy is hydrated on making these podcasts sound so damn good. And thank you to Jeremy, Cam, Tommy, Sylvie, Jay, Memo, and our brand new Diego from the Dork team for all the magic y'all do. Have a spectacular day. What's your favorite movie soundtrack?